39, Psalms 39. And if you would, we'll, for the reading of the Word of God, if you stand for me, is Psalms 39. Psalms 39, we're going to read the first, the 13 verses here quick. Psalms 39. Verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. My sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Verse 5 says, Behold, thou hast made my days as in a handbreadth. My age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh in vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches. He knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove my stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou, in the rebukes, dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. So spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do ask you this morning, Lord, to cleanse me, Father, of all my sins and iniquities, Lord God. Help me, Lord, to be a clean vessel to you, Father. Fill me with your power and your Holy Spirit. Lord God, I do ask you to bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray you speak to the hearts this morning, convict the lost, challenge your children, Lord God. But Father, I pray decisions be made that you receive honor and glory, Lord God. Only you, Father, we lift up this morning. You said we lift you up, you draw all men to you, Father. Now, Lord, help us, Lord, to lift you up and see that you are a great God. We praise thee, we honor thee with songs, and we thank you, Father. But, Lord, we're nothing without you. But, Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning. Challenge our hearts, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 7, the Psalms here, I want to kind of speak with verse 7. He says, Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Psalms 39 is a psalm that continues from verse 38. Speaks when David sinned, and you see the condition of God's chastising him and working in his life, and he's suffering from the hand of God upon him. You see that he sinned because of the sin of Bathsheba, and he killed Uriah, one of his faithful men. Now David was aware that he deserved the sin he's gotten, and he's being punished by the living God. But you see that he abused his privilege, his position, and his power. In Psalms 39, you kind of break up the psalm. You see verse 1 through 3 of David's promise. I'll take heed my ways that I sin not with my tongue. And verse 4 through 6, the plea of David. You know, he said, Lord, make my know my end and the measure of my days what it is that I may know how frail that I am. And he talked about every man. Listen, I like verse 5 at the end. It says, Verily every man that his best state is altogether vanity. Listen, the best you could ever be is worthless. It's just a puff in the air to compare to God. David's plight, his condition, his dangerous difficulty, he finds his hand, and he, listen, with this God's chastening upon him, he goes to the very God that's chastening him and putting drawing him and chastening him with his sins. Verse 12 through 13, you see David's prayer. It says, Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my cry. Hold not that peace from my tears. How many times we've all cried to God, Hear me, O Lord, I need you. Even the things I know I did wrong or I don't know what's taking place, that prayer of crying to God to help to bring that joy back in your life, to cleanse you or to strengthen you in that situation. But listen, in verse 7, you see the hope is in his hope was in the Lord. My hope is in thee. Life, listen, the life of the Lord is an endless hope. It's endless hope. It never, expectation in God is endless. You can never get enough of God. I imagine being in glory with God for after 10 billion years. It's just like the first day of greatness of God. You'll never know how much expectation He has for us. I mean, He's just beyond. That's why He's Almighty God. But then the Lord, without the Lord, is hopelessly end. There's no hope. It's completely hopeless. And I'm wondering this question here he asked, Lord, what wait I for? And that's the title, the thought of this, what wait I for? This morning I would pray that God grips your heart, make you think of this question, what are you waiting on? What is it you're holding on to? What is it you're waiting for to accomplish in your life? Everybody's different in their situation, but what are you waiting for? First one, I want to notice that if you turn with me in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. I want to talk to you about the demand will never be greater. What you wait for, this and the demand will never be greater. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus talking to the disciples, and he's in verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and praising the gospel of the preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, being because they have fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto disciples, the harvest is truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Listen, the demand is never greater than this. You'll find a great demand, no greater than this. The harvest is truly as plenteous. Listen, you saw the misery, what Jesus saw, the misery. He saw the multitude. People, listen, they saw people. They saw multitudes of people. The Pharisees saw multitudes. The disciples saw multitudes. But Christ saw more than that. He saw the depth of their hearts. He saw their misery and their hurt. He saw that they were bruised and battered. He saw their mangled, their ripped apart. He saw they were fainted. He says, because they fainted. They're hurting. Listen, there's like 16,000 some people in Zachary. God doesn't see just a number. He sees a vast multitude, but he sees their hearts, so they're hurting. Yeah, people in this church is hurting, and he sees who they are. He looks not at the crowd, but he looks at the people that are hurting. They're battered, worn out, burdened, exhausted. They're hurting. Then he goes on, he said that they were scattered abroad. The people were helpless. They were cast down. They were prostrate. I could not believe this, and I was reading the article about the wolf sheep, or I don't know if they're all the sheep, but if they get the wolf full on them, they're fully, I guess, to a point where they're having the young girls or whatever having babies and all that, and they got this wool on them. If they fall over on their back, they can't get up. And I was watching the video how they couldn't get up. And this one lamb that he had actually go to and flip it over. And his panic, it flipped itself over and back on its back again. Oh, but the momentum kept it going. The thing is, if it left on its back, it would die. Folks, people are knocked down in this old world and they just can't get up. You remember the old chicken commercial that the woman falls down and she said, I can't get up. Listen, people are getting knocked down by the devil and they can't get back up. People are really hurting. And he sees the multitude. They're people, not just they're fainted, but they're scattered abroad. They're hurting. The world is full of people are hurting. And they're helpless. They can't get themselves up. He sees the people are scattered and helpless. He saw the people that were hopeless. Because he goes as sheep having no shepherd. Person without God is not only lost, but they're hopelessly lost. And I was driving through here, one of these roads here, and you've probably seen them, but I saw sheep. And it spoke to my heart. There's sheep, but there's no shepherd. Grace Baptist Church, your shepherd didn't forsake you, but God moved him. But you need an under-shepherd. And I saw you as Christ saw you. I don't know you as Christ knows you. But God loves you and he said, look, these are my sheep. He doesn't want you to be scattered. He doesn't want you to hurt. He doesn't want you to be hopeless. But the thing is this, there's people out there today are hurting, and they're helpless, and they're hopeless. Oh, it's a need to win the world. It's need to win our neighbors. And Christ looked out there and saw the people in that condition. Listen, they're not watered. They're unguarded. And then they have no idea they're hopeless. They have no idea. In verse 37, you see that when Jesus saw his disciples, he said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. He describes the problem. The problem was not the harvest, but the laborers. The harvest is there. It's ready for the picking, but the problem is no laborers. The opportunity is so great, but there's no laborers, there's few laborers. You notice that the Bible always speaks of plenteous, or there's great, or white unto the harvest. It doesn't matter the size of the harvest. It basically matters the lack of servants. Grace Baptist Church, I know a lot of you, you put effort and work in it. And listen, there's a great labor. There's a great harvest here. We've got a lot of stuff, but we don't have enough laborers. We got to start seeing that it ain't just about us, it's about others. We got to see the field as people, Christ sees them. They're hurting, they're lost. There's a man that Brother Paul mentioned of, Mike. He knows he's lost. He's hurting. But he doesn't know how he's hurting. He needs us. Because we have the great God. They're hurting. Their lack of service. Look at the 38. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The solution to the problem is he calls us to pray. Pray for the lost? No. Pray for laborers. Pray ye therefore. But he said, pray what? For the laborers. Does God calls us in the harvest? But listen, every child of God is called to pray for this prayer, and he's commanded to pray this prayer. But look at this. He calls them to pray for the laborers. The harvest truly is plenteous. Verse 38. The prayer, he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that you send forth laborers in the harvest fields. Soon as we start praying for the needs of the people and have a burden, then he's able to use us. The next verse, he goes to chapter 10. It says, and when he had called it unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They didn't get sent out till they got the heart seeing the need of others. Listen, we need to pray for laborers. We need bus ministers. We need guys to drive the bus. We need people to work the children's ministry. We need more people working. We can't do it all. And some we can do some, but we need to pray for laborers. But when you start praying for God's work, you start getting a burden for God's work. It starts, you seeing the need as he sees the need. Listen, we see the people in Zechariah. You go out to lunch, you go everywhere, but you see them every day, but you don't see as he sees them. You don't see their hurt. They're rude, but you see the rudeness, but you don't see the hurtness and the hopelessness in their lives. Oh, the need is great. The demand will never be greater than that. What are you waiting for? Laborers, what are we waiting for, praying for laborers? The need will never be even greater. What do you wait for? About the direction, it will never be plainer. The direction will be never plainer. He says, I have understand the Bible. Listen, I understand what the Bible tells me. There's things I don't understand. There's things in this Bible I just can't get. But what really bothers me and gets me is that what I do know, I don't do. That what bothers me. Because I know some things in here I should do and I don't do. There's things I don't know. I need to grow and get into that. But the thing is, the things we do know, are you doing those things? Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. All power is given me from heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. We know that's a great command. That's his last command. But we know it's to be true. We need to do it. But are you doing it? Listen, the direction is no plainer than this. The charge to the saints to go and be concerned. The plan to go. Go. It's charge to the person. Ye. Not me. You. God's saying, you go. But the power is available to us. All power is given us. The charge of the saints is simple. This direction should never be plainer than this. The charge for the saints to go in the world, but that the call to the sinners is very simple. Listen, Christ could have wrote this word of God so complicated, so vast that the most educated men could not even understand. He could talk on above every man's head of just basic truths. But he spoke in a language that every man can understand. He used big words like whosoever. He used words most common like come. If you look at me, turn the page over Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. He calls the sinners to come. Consider the declared the word come. It comes. It's not difficult to understand. It's basically to take and move forward what he asks you to go. The word come has two things involved. You have to make a decision and you got a direction to go. Come unto me. It's so simple that men can reject it, and men reject it, and they still don't get saved because the Lord said, all he said is come. Consider the word all. Come unto me, all ye that labor. The word means all is just a vastness of everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should what? But who? The world. For the whole world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not that willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We know it's for everybody. He doesn't will for anybody to go to hell. But you know, in that verse that Peter's talking to, he's talking to the Christians. He says, I'm long suffering to who? Usward. He's so long-suffering to us, he says, I want you to get it. They got to come to me, but you got to go. This plan is so simple. You got to go. You got to labor. The laborers, it needs laborers. Some are not laboring. Some are laboring. Then you are laboring. You need to pray for laborers. We need God, but we need God's help. We need other children, the men and the women that are involved in the ministry to reach the world, not just to build a number of people and say, Lord, we got 10,000, we got 5,000, we got a college. Listen, God's not big in that. He's big in souls. He sees the people are hurting. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the day you're lost and undone? Somebody came to you and they, listen, Christ saw you. Simple. It's for all. All are invited. Oh, I wish somebody was here would see that. I wish some people I could think of that wish they were here to see that salvation is so simple. Yeah. But God brought you. And he wants you to see. He said, don't pray for the harvest. We need a harvest. He said, I want you to pray for the laborers. I want you to see that it's no the plan the great need is this is so there's no plainer than this. It's whosoever can come. Simple to go and for them to come. And it's for everyone. It's for certainty. To consider the certainty of it, he said, I will give them rest. John 6:37 says this. And that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And this is a part. And him that cometh unto me I will no wise cast out. What a promise. It's a certainty that you come to him, he will save you. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. No sinner will ever come to Christ and be not received. It's that simple. What wait you for? I wonder if some of these people are waiting. What are you waiting for? Salvation is so simple. Christians, what are you waiting for? The demand is so great. Today is so great. The Lord cometh. The hour is coming. What are you waiting for? I ask you another thing. Is the day will never be better. Today will never be better. Turn with Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Verse 24. Paul was with Felix, and this is a part of his. He's going through trial, and And Felix come to him, and he's discussing to him, and he says, verse 24, after the certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgments to come. Felix trembled. Listen, he trembled and answered, go thy way this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. Hey, the day would never be better than today. Don't be deceived that tomorrow will be a better day. Don't be deceived that I can pray for laborers another day. Don't be deceived I will do this another day. Don't be deceived I can get saved another day. Today. It's no better day than today. Philip said, go that way as a convenient time. Felix, listen, he was troubled. He was convicted. Instead of asking God, the messenger to stay, he sent him away. Another day, he say. He was prepared to leave his sin and not turn to God. He sought peace by sending a reprover away. How many times have you ever gone door knocking when people say no? You know they're convicted. You know they're lost, but they, another day. And you think, what hinders you to be saved today? That's why we got to pray for laborers. It's the harvest is truly as plenteous. Listen, they say today is hard and times are hard. What's the difference today? They're not killing us. They're not trying to hang us. They're not burning us alive. What's hard? The hearts? It's always been hard. We need laborers. We need to see what Christ sees. The people are hurting. They're lost. I mean, if we could stand up and share our burdens, it's heavy upon us. We could stop the service and start sharing the things that are really hurting and pray and get God. That'd probably be the best thing we need to do is get along with God and start fasting and say, God, we need you, and start acting upon it and trusting He will take care of our needs and we'll start doing His bidding. What wait you for? I think about Felix. I don't know, 2,000 years, 2,500 years? I'm not a mathematician. And he's still in hell. What you wait for, Felix? Today was that day. Look at verse 26. He hoped also for money that should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Listen, he often got around the Word of God, but he would never find a convenient time. He never finds a convenient time. There's always a delay. He's gambling with your soul. It's never a better day to be saved. Listen, he didn't desire to damn his own soul. He desired to be saved another day. He didn't try to reject Christ forever. He just rejected that day. But the thing is, but when you say tomorrow, you're saying no today. You're saying no to Christ. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow to go knock on that door. You're not guaranteed tomorrow to tell your friend about what Jesus did in your life. You're not there guaranteed tomorrow to pray for that lost one. Hey, you got brothers or sisters, you got mamas and daddies or whoever it may be or lost. You may be the only one, the lifeline, praying to keep their lives alive because you see a need. Why you wait for? Why you wait for? Paul David said, what wait I for? What wait I for? My hope is in the Lord. Not just the need will never be greater, or the direction will never be plainer, and the day will never be better. How about the decree will never be sure? The decree will never be sure. The promise and the precepts of the Word of God, the decrees of the Word of God are more sure than ever before. Of the durability and dependability of the Word of God, they try to burn this book, they try to get rid of this book, but it's still here. You know why? It's not just a book. It's not a Bible, but it's God's Word. It's God's Word. He's a man's man. You can't take His Word away. He doesn't. And listen, my daddy used to say, you don't chew the back of twice. God's Word is ever sure. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in darkness in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is the Scripture more sure than if you heard the Word of God on top of a mountain. It's more sure than anything else you hear. People talk about they heard God spoke to them. Listen, this is more sure word than anything else you got. This is literally God's Word speaking to you. The Bible speaks of inspiration of the Word of God. Inspiration is providing a sure Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's like God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. It's valuable. Listen, this, you want to know how to raise your kids? You got the sure Word of God. I remember people saying, well, we don't get a book when you have a baby. You don't get a book how to raise your Bible, your kids. You do. You want to have a good marriage? Here it is. Listen, you want the church to grow? Here it is. The problem is we don't know it. We need to eat it. We have the sure Word of God. The Bible said in Matthew 4:40, it's written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but listen, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The problem is we don't live it. We live our word, our desires, our wants. We have a decree, we'll never be sure. We got to go. Because we go because we see the fields is truly plenteous. It's white unto the harvest. But there's no laborers. How many people knocked on your door this month and asked, you saved? So people care about your soul. Are you dying today? You go to heaven. Do they care if you were going to church? How many people offer you the track and says, here's a gospel message? You are the only ones, maybe ones that given that out. We got to see it as He sees it. Listen, we have the sure Word of God. There's no other way. Oh my goodness. We got the truth. This don't do no CIA. It's planted up high. Let's pray for more laborers. Listen, we have the Word of God. It's so sure. It always provides truth. How about the inerrancy? It speaks of purity. Without error, it's not liable to be found false or proved false. John 10:35 says the Scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie. We have the sure Word of God. The decree would never be unsure in what we have. The preservation of protecting the sure Word of God is preserved. I don't have the original writings in my hand, but I have the preserved Word of God. Amen. Listen, I got the same book they had. I got it complete. The early church didn't have it all here, folks. We got it all. Amen. The laborers are there, but they're not going because they don't see the burden. We don't see as He sees. We don't see their hurting. We don't see the broken. We don't see they're down, they can't get up. We don't see that today may be the last day they got and they open their eyes in eternal fire. You don't see that little boy and girl that mama slaps them around. You don't see that little boy that does. He comes to church, maybe just comes to one of them because that's all he's got. Because Miss Audrey is that, she's that princess. She's that one that tells me about Christ. She's that laborer. She tells me that Jesus loves me. We need more laborers. We got the sure Word of God. The man is great. It's so plain. Come. Come. You say, preacher, we're all saved. Are you? If you are, you praying for laborers? Listen to this. It's protecting the Word of God. It preserves protection of truth. Preservation is providing a safe keeping for God breathes of believers in all generations here. That means my Jesus Christ doesn't come today. He comes 2,000 years ago. That means my kids and my kids and my kids got the Word of God. Oh, what a good God. His Word is so sure that they have truth. But listen, we don't tell these young ladies here and these young couple here and these other kids here to stay by the stuff. Who's going to tell our kids? We have to preserve the Word of God. Why are you waiting any longer to be saved? We have the sure Word of God to save you. Why are you waiting any longer to serve God? We have the sure Word of God to strengthen us and enable us and give us wisdom and direction. Psalms 111, verse 7 8 says this, "The work of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, are done in truth and uprightness." Listen, they stand fast forever and ever. Are we praying? What do you wait for? The service to be done. What is it? Say, God, what do you want me to do? There's something, God, what do you want me to do? Before He send them out. But you notice that He had to get their hearts right. And let them see what He sees. Listen, you get your hands full of means before your heart full of Christ, you're going to do it for your glory. You hear me? You're going to do it for your glory and your own purpose. But you get your heart full of Christ, then you start taking those means and start making a difference. What do you wait for? Decisions got to be made. Decision's got to be made. You saved? Are you saved? Are you serving? Are you praying for laborers? We need a bus driver. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need faithfulness. And soon we'll have a visitation. We need faithful workers to go. But what do you wait for? I don't know what God spoke to your heart, what challenged your heart, but you've got to make a decision today. It's convenient to make a decision today. No. You've got to make it, though. If you procrastinate, you'll never make a decision. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. You stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. For Grace Baptist Church, as far as I know, everybody's saved this morning. But you got to ask yourself that question. Is your name written in the book of life? If you're saved, you know 100% sure, then I ask you this question, Christians. Have you made a decision to say, today I'm going to make a decision. What I wait for, I'm going to serve God. Church open, I'm going to be at church. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday school, Wednesday night, I'm going to be at church. When they get a visitation, I'm going to be at visitation. I may not know how to do it, but I'm going to pass out tracts. God, I don't know what to do, but I'll pray for laborers. Lord, I'll pray that people get saved. I pray You send somebody to help this church grow, God, so people can get saved. But whatever it is, you have to make a decision. Don't be like Felix, where he pushed it away and wasn't convenient, because it's never convenient to do right. You just got to do it and trust Him, because we have the sure Word of God. He will protect us. He will provide for us. As the piano plays, you come.